Can we be so sure that peace and stability on our continent are assured beyond any shadow of doubt? Is that a risk worth taking? I would never be so rash as to make that assumption. It's barely been 20 years since war in the Balkans and genocide on our continent in Srebrenica.
That's British Prime Minister David Cameron warning that peace in Europe could be at risk if Britain votes to leave the European Union. There are just over 6 weeks to go until the referendum, which will decide whether Britain leaves the EU. Dr. Ben Wellings from Monash University is an expert on UK politics and policy. Ben, welcome to RN Drive.
Hello, Patricia.
That was an extraordinary speech from David Cameron, effectively raising the idea of war in Europe. Did he go too far?
Well, no, that's a fairly sort of standard interpretation of the role of the European Union in political circles, in pro-EU circles anyway. Yesterday, 9th of May, was Europe Day, so the occasion was to for Cameron, along with other leaders and European Union officials, to reflect on the European Union. It's a day that symbolises the beginning of the process that led to the European Union from a declaration back in 1950. And it's very common for leaders to dwell on the theme of peace in Europe and the European Union's role in creating that. And if you remember, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to the EU in 2012 for turning Europe into what the Nobel Prize Committee said, you know, a continent of peace. It's slightly overstating the case, which is one of the problems with this. But it's interesting that Cameron's come out and sort of deployed this argument in order to, I suppose we could say, rally the troops or scare people into thinking that if Britain left the EU, the Europe itself would descend into the kind of warfare that characterised it up till 1945 and, of course, in Yugoslavia as well. So It's playing a trump card, and it's not necessarily one that would necessarily win him all that many votes. I think, you know, economics is going to be the place where that referendum is won rather than security. But of course, we know terrorist attacks happen. Security is an issue, and one of those a terrorist attack sort of in or near Britain itself could change the course of the referendum. So I think he's taking a calculated risk, but he's certainly not speaking outside the bounds of common ways of interpreting the European Union.
The most recent polls put the UK on course for Brexit. Is it still clear-cut? What are polls saying now? What is the vibe?
Well, I think there's a slight... I'm not sure that all the polls are putting Britain, you know, as going for Brexit, and we need to be super careful with the polls after what happened in the last UK election last May, when the polls were actually almost entirely wrong, with the exception of calling the result in Scotland. So I think what's likely to happen is that people will start to engage. I mean, it's a very long, you know, referendum campaign, just like the long election campaign here, except even longer. And voters will probably only really start to engage. The swing voters will only start to engage about 3 weeks out. And we might sort of anticipate a sharp spike for exit as people kind of register their discontent. But I think that people will step back from that, even as late as they go into that polling booth. And I think that basically people will go with the devil they know, and they will vote to retain Britain in the European Union. But it doesn't mean to say it's going to be close. And, of course, the closer the vote is, the less it resolves. Because if we've got a sort of, a hypothetical 49-51 percentage in favour of staying in, that doesn't really kind of resolve anything. And that's one of the problems.
So it needs to be a decisive defeat or victory, either way.
Well, yes, and you know what constitutes decisive. You know, if 45% of the population of Britain would leave the EU tomorrow, I mean, that's not a great sign for the UK's commitment or the legitimacy of the European Union in the UK. So, you know, I can't see this being resolved in any way, although, of course, you know, the issue will die down in the immediate aftermath and everyone will be worn out by the campaigning or just having to think about it. So, but that's not to say that there isn't a significant body of people in the United Kingdom who are disgruntled with this, and it it does contrast with the previous referendum in 1975, where there was a 2-1 majority in favour of staying in, and that won't happen this time round.
On another note, we've also seen the remarkable election of London's mayor last week, won by Labour's Sadiq Khan. The former mayor was a high profile Tory, Boris Johnson, who has come out against Cameron and backed the Brexit. Here he is speaking recently.
I find it offensive, insulting, irrelevant and positively cretinous to be told, sometimes by people who can barely speak a foreign language, that I belong to a group of small-minded xenophobes. Because the truth is that it is Brexit that is now the great project of European liberalism.
Well, he's no longer the mayor, but is Boris Johnson proving to be a really key player here?
Well, when he joined the exit campaign in February, that was a major coup for the exit campaign to have a flamboyant, high-profile figure like Boris Johnson. I mean, he's terrific political theatre, isn't he? And so that was really important for them. But also, research seems to show that he's not necessarily someone that's going to change people's minds. When surveys have been conducted about, you know, what ministers in Britain, you know, people most listen to, he's not, or politicians, I should say, he's not necessarily number one on the list. So it's great for the exit campaign to have someone with that energy and that profile really sort of stirring things up, because other members of the exit campaign have other qualities, but nothing quite like Boris's flair, if you like. But it can be a little bit difficult as well. You might remember that he raised this issue about Obama's Kenyan heritage and therefore his attitude towards Britain, and this was perceived as kind of a little bit dog whistle. This was characterised the Conservative campaign in London as well for the mayoral elections. We've had Sadiq Khan, the first Muslim mayor of a European city, elected, and the campaign there was also criticised for dog whistle tactics, and I don't think that stood him in good stead. But having said this, Johnson, I think is sort of in a way the best hope for the Brexit.
He's certainly a very vocal voice in all of this. Thank you for joining us tonight. That's Dr. Ben Wellings, a lecturer in politics and international relations at Monash University. He was speaking to us on Skype talking about the Brexit. There's still, well, I think about 6 weeks to go.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.